Hey, great to be here at Energizer Energizer Hobart, located at our Belreeve suburb this morning, and a massive warm welcome to the people in the Derwent Valley. Hope you guys are doing well. How about we wave our hands in the air so they can see something on the live screen? Hey, great to be here speaking and preaching this morning. I've been away from Energizer the last few weeks. Yeah, I've been doing a bit of a church tour because I work as a youth pastor here at Energizer Church, but also work for Alpha Crucis College. So as part of that, I've been going and speaking at different churches, a couple down Kingston and Cornerstone Presbyterian last week, and just sharing and encouraging people at those different churches. And it's been an absolute blast, but I have honestly missed being here at Energizer Church. So for those people who are starting to freak out thinking, is Pastor Dan backslidden? Haven't seen him in church the last 4 weeks. You can find out what backslidden means at the Christian Jargon course. Just whilst I'm welcoming and saying hi to the Derwent Valley, special welcome to Matt and Leanne Garvin, the ministers at Citywide Baptist. It's great that you are over here with us this morning. Seriously, as a church, we love praying for other local churches in our city, and you guys get mentioned quite often when we're like, oh, I pray for you. Well, yeah. So we're believing God for what you're believing for, to see the kingdom of God advance in what you're doing. So keep taking those steps of faith and having the impact in Lena Valley and across in Mornington, because you know it's eternal what you guys are doing. So thanks so much for coming here. Pastor David and Alex send their apologies. I don't know if it's apologies. They just say they're away. They're away this weekend. They're up at Peter Shirley's church up the north of the state. So be praying for them. They've been ministering up there all day yesterday, and they'll be up there all day today as well. So instead, they've given the microphone to me. So let's pray, and then we'll get into the Word of God. God, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to be here as a body of Christian believers together called the church. And we ask in Jesus' mighty name that you would move in each and every single one of us, God, that you would stir us up, you would strengthen us, you would convict us, you would correct us, you would direct us, you would do what you would desire to accomplish in each of us and collectively here in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you so much that you're a good God and we can trust you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. So the last few weeks, Pastor Dave has been talking out of the book of Hebrews. And he's been talking about faith activation and being people that step out in faith. And today I'm going to continue on from this chapter of scripture in the book of Hebrews. And I'm not looking at doing an expository of the authorship of this epistle called Hebrews I want to talk instead more about the heart that the author was trying to convey when he was writing to this group of Jewish believers in Jerusalem, and what he was hoping to accomplish through encouraging them with these stories about this guy named Melchizedek and these stories of being people of faith. And what he was hoping to accomplish was a heart to champion that group of Christians in the face of perseverance. To encourage them, to strengthen them, to support them, to help say, hey, look, even though there's struggles, even though there's challenges, even though there's opposition, even though there's persecution, I want you to have faith to believe that maybe God has more than what you're seeing through all the trial that you're enduring at this moment. So who here looks forward to things? Some things. Yeah, some things we don't look forward to. That check. There's some things we don't look forward to. There's some things we do look forward to. Well, what are some things that people look forward to at times? Birthdays. You know, it starts from a young age. Like for children, it's always birthdays are coming and Christmas. I know, it's only, 5 months away now? Come on. Who's going to start cranking the Christmas jingle soon? I know some of the guys in the Derwent Valley will be. But, you know, Christmas Christmas and birthdays are often something that as children we look forward to, or school holidays, we're looking forward to this, we're looking forward to that. As grown-ups, some of us, we're still looking forward to holidays, that's for sure. But it starts to change. We start to look forward to things like getting married or owning our first house or the birth of our first child or finishing uni. These are things that we start to look forward to. But the author of the book of Hebrews didn't encourage us to look forward to temporary things. He encouraged us to look forward to something more. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, 16, it says, "It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child. Though she was barren and was too old, she believed that God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead. A nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them." I love the Message translation of that little piece of scripture. It says, "From one man's dead, shriveled loins, there are now people numbering into the millions." Turn to the person next to you and say, "Your dead, shriveled loins." Don't turn to the person next to you and say that. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward. Everyone say looking forward. To a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they'd come from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Today I want to look at the topic of faith, and I want to focus on three things. Number one, what does faith see? What does faith look forward to? Number two, what does faith speak? What does faith sound like? And we've actually already talked about that a lot when Grant was sharing and when Katie was sharing during the song. And number three, what are the steps of faith? What action does faith take? So what does faith see? Like I said, we can look forward to things in the natural. And there's nothing intrinsically wrong with looking forward to things in the natural. But when we start looking forward to things into the natural, you'll also recognize that sometimes the things we look forward to don't come to fruition. Or they fail us. You know, I recall just now a holiday that Grant Mullen and his family were going to go on once. They were looking forward to that holiday. And then a dastardly volcano on the other side of the world decided to spew forth ash into the atmosphere. Drats was exactly the word that Grant Mullen used. His son Jack went, "Oh my golly, what are we going to do now?" Because he sounds like a little child from the 1980s, but that doesn't. Anyway, but the whole, oh Papa, but the reality is things that we sometimes look forward to into the natural will fail us. We look forward to that holiday and the ash cloud comes. We look forward to a pay rise and then all of a sudden we get told that someone else has gotten a job and a pay rise and we're like, oh. Or in the words of the Crown from Queen Elizabeth, oh. You know, we get a new lead, like we can look forward to things like a new leader in government, then it doesn't really change much. We look forward to summer and then all of a sudden we get sick. You know, we can look forward to things in the natural, but these things can come undone. The author of Hebrews encourages our faith to look forward beyond just looking forward to things in the natural, to look to something in the supernatural and look far beyond just the temporary and to look all the way to the eternal. Faith focuses on eternity. Faith focuses on eternity. Faith sees Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, in the midst of the temporary challenges and circumstances that we're going through. As we already heard, faith sees the fruition of the promise while we're still in the middle of the problem. I don't know what that problem might look like for you. Maybe, as you heard, it might be finances in a challenging situation. It might be your marriage in a challenging situation. It might be your children in a challenging situation. It may be your workplace in a challenging situation. I don't know what it is for you, but faith sees Jesus, eternity, in the middle of that problem and sees the fruition of that promise that God has over that problem, even though we don't see it yet. Like I said, with these three things, my hope this morning is, number one, we're talking about this, that for some people here that are in the middle of a problem, maybe it's an addiction, pornography, alcohol, gossip. That's a bad addiction. And maybe you recognize it in yourself and you go, oh, I keep on doing this. But God doesn't desire you to remain contained and controlled and locked in, seeing just the challenge, just the battle. He wants you to see the fruition of His promise, even in the midst of it, and have confidence that if He has said it, then you will see it if you step out in faith and trust Him. What does faith see? Faith sees the promise and the fulfillment of the promise. If it's breakthrough, faith sees Isaiah 43:19, which we've declared. It's part of our new album, A New Thing, where he starts to create a pathway in the wilderness and a river in the wastelands. Faith sees that promise and speaks that promise. Actually, sorry, I'm skipping to the second point. Oh, spoiler alert. And in the new Ant-Man movie, no, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that to everyone here. So, spoiler alert. Faith sees God as our healer, even in the midst of sickness, which we were declaring at the start of this service. I can't wait to hear the testimony of Dennis's healing. Is anyone else excited about that? Seriously, I get far more excited. Like, seriously, great theology is so important. But if it's at the expense of the Spirit of God moving, it's just like, far out. I'd rather see someone get healed and someone only know one scripture in the Bible than know the entire Bible back to front, cover to cover, all the intricacies of when it was written, who wrote what, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, but didn't see any healings, any miracles, any... It's not one or the other, it's both. Just hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying let's throw out the Bible or theology. I mean, but what I am saying is let's make sure that all of this builds a foundation for our faith to be stronger and our faith to be more bold to believe God for healings. So I'm looking forward to hearing about Dennis's healing. But faith sees freedom, which we're declaring. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Faith sees that even in the midst of our addiction, in the midst of our bondage. Faith sees in the midst of our fearful situations, perfect love casting out that fear. Faith sees in the midst of our anxiety, the promises that we read in Philippians 4, that do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition, present your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Faith sees that peace before it's present. Even in the midst of the anxiousness, even in the midst of the worry, faith sees the peace before it's actually seen in its fulfillment. And I want to encourage you to see beyond what you see now, to see beyond the trial, to see beyond the challenge, to see beyond the battle, to see beyond the addiction, to see beyond your circumstance. And to focus forward, not to just a holiday, not just a pay rise, not just to when I get married, not just to those temporary things, which some of those things are good temporary things, but to look forward to the eternal thing, a heavenly homeland. Knowing that if God is preparing a place for us, And if God says he is with us, then focusing forward to eternity and focusing forward to eternal promises is a lot better option. It's a lot firmer foundation to looking forward to temporary things that can fall to pieces at times. So number one, what does faith see? Faith focuses forward to eternity. Number two, what does faith sound like? I honestly don't feel like I even need to preach this point now because Katie did it so eloquently, elegantly, wonderfully. Add another adjective insert here. That was awesome, Katie. Who enjoyed the time of worship that we had together this morning? Yeah, let's thank the team for leading us so wonderfully in worship. But Katie had no idea what I was going to preach on today, and she pretty much stole my second point. And I'm encouraged by that. I feel like we're on the same wavelength here. But what does faith sound like? You know, every feeling has a different sound. Can anyone make the sound for the feeling of pain? I heard the Derwent Valley over you guys here. What was that? That was like a cat meowing in the background. I swear Lazarus, my cat, isn't here somewhere. Now, the feeling of pain. Ah! You know, I remember when I sliced my finger open in a lawnmower, and I didn't have a lawnmower spinning around. It was one of those push ones. I was just trying to fix it and slice my finger on the blade. I'm not that dumb that I put my hand. If you've done that, I apologize. I'm not calling you dumb. I'm just saying that what you did was dumb. Okay. All right. Backpedal. But you know, pain has a sound. Joy has a sound. You know, when Collingwood won the football yesterday against North Melbourne, I had a sound of despair and upset. And then there was the sound of Collingwood supporters going, "Yeah!" You know, that sound that Collingwood supporters make. It was a sound of joy. I thought it was legion. You know, different things have different sounds. Feelings have sounds. Animals have sounds. Our faith is meant to have a sound. Our faith is designed to have a sound. Our faith is not designed to be silent. If your faith is silent, I would almost be up for challenging, do you have faith at all if your faith doesn't make a sound at all? You know, faith is meant to have a sound. It says at the start of the book of Hebrews, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. And what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. You know, the Genesis account unpacks it a bit more for us about how God spoke. He said, let there be. And what was there? There was light. Then we get to the second day and God spoke and said, you guys all know your Bible. What was the second one, Lizzie? Land. Well, God spoke, and each day he created new things. He formed, he separated the waters, then he formed dry land, then he filled the land, then he had like things in the water. Well, that was water before the land, and then he had things in the sky. And then each time he spoke, that was an act of faith. And do you know that you're made in the image of the invisible God? You're made in his image. You're made in his likeness. I love that at the very end of it, he says, let me make man. Or let us make man in our image. We're made in the image of God. And our God, he created everything we see, this universe. I could get my Louis Giglio on right now and just be like, look at this wonderful star constellation and this planet. Wow. You know, all of that came by faith through God speaking. What sound are you making? What words are you speaking? Because you're not designed to be silent. Our faith speaks. Our faith speaks. Our faith is designed to speak out the promises of God. Our faith is designed to trust and speak out His praises. Our faith is designed to worship. Our faith is designed to declare. Our faith is meant to have a sound. Faith, then transformation. Faith and then the promise fulfilled. You know, in the world, it's pretty much the other way around. There's an event, and then we start to feel it, and then we are confident in it. We trust in it. We have faith in it. While God actually designed it to be the other way around when it comes to faith, it's to have a faith and to speak it out. Then our emotions and stuff sort of get into line with it, and then we see the fulfillment of it. You know, let me just give you a real brief example recently. Richmond Football Club. But like a couple of years ago, everyone was like, oh yeah, they won't finish in the top eight. They might finish ninth again. I know. But then they somehow managed to win the premiership. And now all of a sudden, all the Richmond supporters are rocking up to the game. And there's like more than ever before, like they're packing out the MCG. And they're like, yeah, we're Richmond! Yellow and black! They get into it. Their feelings have now caught up to the fact that they've won. And now the booking agencies have them down to like $1.05 in almost every game they play. When 2 years ago it was about $9, Richmond fans had no idea what they were turning up to. And then they somehow won a premiership. You know, that's the way the world works. You have success, you get, and then all of a sudden you have confidence off the back of it. Well, God's saying, even in the midst of your crumbling situation, speak out in faith, and then you will see it come to fruition. So I don't know what thing you're in at the moment, but I want to encourage you, faith speaks. Faith declares. Faith speaks out the promises of God. Faith isn't silent. You know, I love in Isaiah 54 verse 1, it says, sing, O childless woman, you who have never given birth, break into a loud and joyful song. You who have never been in labor, for the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband, says the Lord. That was written to the people of Israel in exile. And they really, 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 really didn't want to sing. They feel like God had abandoned them. But in the midst of that place of feeling like abandoned, the prophet Isaiah spoke to them and said, no, don't allow your feelings to dictate your faith. Don't allow your feelings to direct your faith. But instead, allow your faith to direct your feelings. And then you'll see the fullness and the promises of God in your life as you start to act on faith and not based on feelings. You know, Psalm, 42, King David said, why is my soul discouraged? Why am I so downcast? I'll place my hope in my God, my Savior, and my Lord. You know, in the midst of his personal battle, did he say, no, that's where my faith is. I can't step out. I can't do anything today. I'm just not going to trust God here. No, he didn't allow the feelings to dictate his faith. He allowed his faith to actually get his feelings in line. So that's how my soul feels. That's how my spirit feels. But that's not what I'm going to operate from. I'm going to operate from a firmer foundation, a foundation called faith. Faith speaks. Turn to the person next to you and tell them faith speaks. And the final point for the people in the Derwent Valley and the people here at our Hobart campus. So, faith sees, faith speaks. And what steps does faith take? The steps of faith. Do you know the average person takes between 5,000 to 7,000 steps a day? Yeah, that's about right. What's normally the goal that most people try to do each? 10,000 steps a day. Do we have any 10,000 steppers here in the room? Oh, well done. Give yourselves a pat on the back. Who actually, does anyone actually have an odometer? What are they called? Those little things that you put. Oh, they're on your wrists these days. Oh, I wear one of these and doesn't have that ability. There you go. There you go. But, you know, I remember a bunch of years ago, I used to have one of those little hip ones. It wasn't, not hip, like, that's hip. It was like, went on your hip. And it was just weird. It didn't really work. Like, sometimes it would work. Then other times, I wore it in praise a few times. This is the fun of it, just jumping around. Like, yeah. And all of a sudden, be like, yeah, I've had 40,000 steps. Actually, it wasn't that excessive, but 4,000 steps just from, I think we should create praise-a-sizing. Yeah. That can be a new Connect group. Welcome to praise-a-size. So if you're interested in the praise-a-size Connect group, chat to Jessica Dees at the end of the service. She would love to field expressions of interest. Now, 5,000 to 7,000 steps a day is what most people do on average. 10,000 steps is what most people aim for. But as a Christian, it's not about the amount of steps. It's about how many steps we're in obedience to the Holy Spirit. How many steps were in obedience to the Holy Spirit's leading in your life? When the Holy Spirit started saying, hey, I need you to make this step. I was so encouraged last Sunday night. We had Scotty Haas here at our night service, and we did an interview with Scott Haas. And you can actually listen to that if you have an Apple device. Or if you really want it, come chat to Jessica Dees at the end of the service. but it was an incredible evening. He chatted about his story of what he went through going up, and I'm not going to talk about all of that in this moment, but he didn't have the rosy, I grew up in a lovely Christian family and everything was amazing story. His story was very hard. But then through the hardships, you see how he can just trust God so radically when God encourages him to step. For those who don't know who I'm talking about, Scotty Haas was a guy that was on Ultra 106.5 radio show host, but recently, about 6 months ago, about 4 months ago, God told him to finish up at Ultra when he had been there for 15 years. He has 5 kids and a wife and a mortgage. And God said, it's time to step out. He's like, step onto what? I'm not going to tell you. Hand in your resignation and then I'll tell you. Marianne, God's telling me to quit my job. You do know you have 5 kids, a mortgage and a wife? Yeah, but God's telling me to do this. Who here would feel confident coming back to their wife to say that? And the bravest man in the room is... Grant's wife is not here. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that. Oh. But that, what a situation and circumstance to be in. And now, you know, I'll let... Spoiler alert? Should I do spoiler alert? Yeah. Okay, we'll do spoiler alert. Seriously, have a listen to the podcast. It's insanely good. But after him stepping out, God then opened up a door for him to now work with compassion, which is something that was always deep in his heart to do. And compassion actually, you know, they're involved with child sponsorship across the nation, but are also involved in helping champion the fastest growing churches in the world. So it's an incredible ministry that he's now got the privilege of serving and being involved in. But when he didn't have a job for a bunch of weeks, and all of a sudden the bills are still coming in, that step of faith seems like not a smart step at all, does it? Not in the natural. But that's when we start focusing on the temporary things, which we talked about right at the very start. Is our focus just on the temporary things, or is the focus on the eternal things that God has said for us to do? And I'm just sharing Scotty's testimony because now God's looked after him, he's looked after his family, and he's now serving in the place that he feels called to and knows that he should be in. Was it an easy little journey? No. But would he prefer to go back to just doing what he'd always done and what he was doing just out of a sense of obligation and out of a sense of, I'll just operate in a place of comfort and know what's coming my way? No, he wouldn't go back to that. Because he would much prefer to be doing what God's called him to do for this coming season than remaining somewhere, even though it may be having an impact, but it's not necessarily in obedience to what the Holy Spirit has said to him. Faith steps. Or as it says in the book of James, the brother of Jesus, faith without deeds is dead. If you're operating in a place where you're just existing and not walking in the leading and in obedience to what the Holy Spirit's saying to you, that will die. And God doesn't want you dead. Not yet, anyway. He wants you home in eternity with him. Don't get me wrong, that's God's heart. It's for none to perish, but all to have everlasting life. But he doesn't want your faith to die on the journey from your life now to eternity where you step back in and you see him face to face. He wants your faith not to die, but to be alive and to be thriving. And sometimes he will call us to step out, not in our own worldly wisdom or what seems like the best option or the best choice, but instead he will lead us by his Holy Spirit to step somewhere that seems uncertain and crazy, like, Peter, step out onto the water. Yeah, but in doing so, all of a sudden we do miraculous things that no one's ever done. In doing so, we have our lives impacting in ways we've never dreamed, thought, or imagined before. Faith steps. It doesn't matter about how many steps you do per day. It's about how many steps are stepped out in obedience to the Holy Spirit's leading. Raising your child in a way that honors God could be more important to God and a greater act of obedience than donating thousands of hours to a soup kitchen or millions of dollars to missions, if that is what God has spoken to you to do. Conversely, leaving what you're doing now and stepping into an area of unknown, like Scotty Haas did, knowing that God had spoken to him and led him to do so, even though not all the details were given in that process, is a greater act of obedience than remaining in the comfort and security of what you know just because you're afraid to get out of the boat. What step has God asked you to take, and are you being obedient to it? And I want to encourage you very briefly just here before I wrap up this message. God doesn't ask us to do anything contrary to his word that's written. So if you're saying, I feel like God's telling me to leave my marriage, that is not God. That is not God. Don't misappropriate and say God told me to do this when it's something completely contrary to his principles and his decrees. But when they are in line with what the Word of God says, principles and patterns that we read and see throughout the Gospels, throughout the New Testament, throughout the Old Testament, if God has said for you to step, even if it's challenging, I want to encourage you, take the step. Take the step. It's better to do one step in obedience than 10,000 just out of your own accord. So my heart for this message today was I just want to pray for some people, and I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. But maybe there's some people here, and that first point, you're in the midst of a trial, you're in the midst of a circumstance, you're in the midst of a challenge, you're in the midst of an addiction, you're in the midst of something, but your focus is so fixated on it that you can't see the promise, you can't see the breakthrough, you can't see the healing, you can't see the freedom, you can't see the restoration yet. Like I said, in the book of Hebrews, it says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I'm hoping that this message just helps you fix your focus back to Jesus. For those that are struggling in the midst of that and they're not speaking out and declaring, my hope and my heart is that this would be an encouragement, like at the halftime of the footy. Come on, start using your voices. You're silent out there, guys. Start speaking, start calling to one another. Start speaking out, start declaring, start prophesying to your situation. Might look like dry bones at the moment,